Welcome to the Casual Fridays REI podcast, where you'll learn about the wildly profitable niche of land investing. Active land investors Adam Southey and Justin Sleva are here to share their experiences with you so that you can learn how to build massive cash flow and huge profits from this highly lucrative niche. So without further ado, here are your hosts, Adam Southey and Justin Sleva.
What's up, everybody? I'm Adam Southey, here with my co-host, Justin Sleva, and this is the Casual Fridays REI podcast. It's Wednesday, and that means today we're catching up. We're talking about land, our favorite subjects. Before we do that, though, let's talk about the Casual Fridays land flipping blueprint. Guys, if you're thinking about getting into this industry, this is it. This is the course you want to buy. Justin and I spent months doing consulting calls and helping people out before we ever put this course together. So what's that mean for you? Well, for one, because we've done so much consulting, we know where people get hung up and we've addressed those issues in the course. But also, you've got two experienced land investors who came together and took the best parts of each of their business and laid them out for you in an easy-to-follow video format. So if this excites you and you're thinking about getting into this industry, all you've got to do is go to our website at www.casualfridaysrei.com, click on the training tab, and book a call with us. We just want to get to know you a little bit. We'll tell you all about our journey. We'll tell you about the course, and then we'll answer any questions you have. The whole thing should take about 20 to 30 minutes, and that's it. There won't be any pushy sales tactics, and at the end of the call, if it's a good fit, great. We'd love to help you get started and see you reach your goals.
Yes.
Yes. You're waiting for hump day.
I mean, you're changing up, so now I don't even know what to expect from
you. It's your OCD. It's just like wearing you out.
No, I like to have some change.
Your eyes get big when you see like what you think is about to happen doesn't happen. Like you freeze for a second.
I'm thinking. I'm not froze.
Okay.
I'm thinking like, well, okay, what should I say? Should I just mirror him? Like,
or should I jump in and do it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what to do, but I think. I don't even remember what you just said, but I think you just said yes. And yes. So it's like, how am I supposed to respond to that?
Stump Adam. That's my job today.
Mary Beth does the same thing. She'll text me something and it's not like a question or a conversation starter. It's just a statement.
Uh-huh.
And I don't respond.
Uh-huh.
And then of course, an hour later I get, oh, too busy to talk to me. I'm like, well, you didn't ask a question. You just made a statement and I don't have anything to respond to your statement.
It was a question. It just didn't have a question mark, Mr. Punctuation.
I mean, I could read. I can tell if it's a question or not without a question mark.
Jessica used to have, she has a friend like that they text. She goes, oh, I know exactly what she means by her text message. I said, it's just words. You're reading them. You're reading your own emphasis into it. And she's like, oh no, if she's excited, she'll put like two exclamation points or three exclamation points. She didn't put one. She's just being facetious or whatever, you know, whatever term she's using or whatever emphasis she's reading into that.
Yeah, that is part of the reason why I hate text messaging. Like, I'm not a good text messenger, and it's because you can't get the sense of how the person's saying it most of the time. Like if I'm in a bad mood and someone sends me a text, well, I might read it in a bad mood.
Oh, yeah. That's a real thing.
Yeah.
That's a real thing. That's why if I see conversations go bad pretty quick in text, I pick up the phone and call. Mm-hmm. But I think me and you are probably one of the few people still left in the world that we actually call each other.
Yeah, I'm much more susceptible to being on the answering the phone and talking to people on the phone. I like it way more.
Yeah, because I think if you looked at our phone bill, the phone calls between like you and me, and it's just like quick, hey, daily check-in or whatever it is, and compared to like everybody else, I bet our conversations are 2-3 times longer. And it's not long conversations, 10-15 minutes. It'll be 30 minutes mm-hmm. as we're working through the day on the headset.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting. Well, I put a question on Facebook when we recorded on Sunday. I know we're free talking today, but Joe Smith, what's up, Joe? I know it's cold up there where you're at. We appreciate you reaching out, and congratulations on your big purchase. I think you just purchased a quadplex up there.
Yeah, that's awesome, Joe. Congrats.
So you asked a question, and I told you if you put it in the comments while we were recording, we'd shout out for you. So there's your shout out. But your question was transaction coordinators versus a VA, and go. And so, I mean, that's a great question. I think that a lot of people use a VA in their business, and a VA does like the task that you need them to do. They can handle each individual task. Some of them, you have an all-encompassing land masters. They have a good group over there that can handle a lot of your stuff. The transaction coordinator, we use the transaction coordinator with Plum, and she provides a service to a lot of business owners who also own a land business too. So there's some differences in them. Is one better than the other? And one probably costs a little bit more than the other, but the quality you get, you know, I know just speaking with Beth, you know, about Beth is that she takes your business from when you agreed on your price with the mailer, with your offer, and you hand it off to her, and then she runs it. So your business is completely automated at that point with somebody that has, you know, nationally recognized sales experience, a master's degree, versus, you know, somebody that's working 12 hours, 14 hours ahead. And, you know, it's just a different quality of product and a different service provided. You know, it's essentially a turnkey business with a transaction coordinator. You just make sure they're hitting those points.
Yeah, I think there needs to be more to that question, because why couldn't your VA be your transaction coordinator?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that's kind of the way I saw it at first, but I started thinking, I said, well, what do I use a VA for? You know, Pat Live is a VA, essentially. Mm-hmm. They do that task for it. They answer the phone and send you the lead. You know, you have people that VAs, they send it over and they do their due diligence. So they do that portion for you. I use title company for that. You know, Beth, she, on her quality of product, the products that she does, she uses a title. She sends it to title. She handles like prodding them along, getting the information they need. To you as the landowner, don't have to worry about that, or the business owner, don't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm. So when I saw the question, I thought what I read was that, like, what a VA means, someone who's virtual or versus a transaction coordinator that actually works for you in person. Because that would be the only difference to me, besides maybe quality, but you can get a good quality VA who does everything that a transaction coordinator does.
Yeah, but could you take a transaction coordinator and say, hey, I'm going to segment your business? Because a transaction coordinator could run your VAs for you. So it's kind of like your upper middle management.
Yeah. But again, you could have an upper middle management VA. That's what Jill at Land, like, she could be your upper level because she has people that, isn't that her name?
Jillian,
yeah. She has people that work for her.
Yeah, but you don't necessarily talk straight to her. You get assigned somebody with her. So, and I know that Holly up in Oregon does a great job for a lot of people. She does some VA work, but she handles a lot of the transactions too. So she does, you know, the advertising and the listings and the postings and stuff like that. So to me, and this is just me speaking, is your transaction coordinator is going to handle everything as the transaction as a whole. The VA could handle everything, but they could be segmented down. We may have a different VA for, which we do, answering her phone for Craigslist, maybe doing some due diligence if we hire somebody out to do that, some content writing. You know, so for us, a VA handles segmented businesses that we hire just for that specific task.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think to answer Joe's question, we would need more specifically, because
Maybe I answered it with what we had.
We could have, yeah. I think I would need a little more info, but
okay.
We definitely appreciate Joe reaching out, because this is the first time we've asked
a live question while we're actually recording. Yeah. So, hey, Joe, we do appreciate that, and I hope everything's going well up there with you. And congratulations again on your recent purchase.
Yeah, definitely.
So what's going on?
Well, kind of a lot and kind of not a lot, really.
Yeah? You almost bought a Porsche this week, didn't you?
No. No, I didn't. I was presented with the option to buy a Porsche, but like most things, I just say no.
Mm-hmm.
Because, but even though it's, you know, it's when we're talking Porsche, we're not talking $100,000 Porsche. We're
you're just showing the badge on Instagram, bro.
No,
click
no,
funnel.
I don't need all that. $10,000 Porsche, and I still said no.
You didn't make a counteroffer?
I didn't make an offer. No, I don't.
You know, I'm making a counteroffer.
I am so much more interested in buying businesses. I was thinking about this weekend, like, for fun, I spend time just looking at businesses for sale. Yep. Or like websites for sale, or yeah, anything like that. That's my pastime fun. I'm sitting in front of the TV, I'm like reviewing businesses.
How many domain names do you own?
Oh, I don't know,
like I 15 plus, 20 plus,
maybe, probably. I know it's probably 3 pages worth on my host.
I was thinking about that too. I had the, you know, Steve, we were looking at starting something, and he'd say, hey, yeah, just take a look at these domain names I own. And he had about as many as me and you probably have. And I was thinking, man, that's kind of cool. You know, you see the like-minded people around. And Steve, when I'm talking with Steve at Land Academy, you see like-minded people that like to start businesses, and that's their fun. You know, you kind of draw, and you have the same like little ticks and little things that you look at. So that's pretty cool to see something like that.
Mm-hmm. It does feed into my, like, the shiny object syndrome, though, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, right now I'm waiting for mail to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wasn't able to buy anything off my last mail, I'm kind of in this dead period, mm-hmm, which is why I say not a lot going on. Mm-hmm. But then there is a lot going on, because I have a ton of mail. And I actually expected that mail to really hit Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But I've only had 4 calls.
Okay.
And that's been exactly 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So maybe the next day or so.
I kind of double-checked my mailers, the dates they hit, because I haven't come to the house and what dates they hit. And I've seen an average between 11 and 19 days. So seeing some transit time. So I guess it, as people get paid in their real job, and then they go send out more mail, or they get some deals closed and they start funding, you know, you're starting to see some of that grow, that time grow, because it weighs it down. And then big storms, you had snowstorms, you have big rainstorms coming through. So that slows down some of that too.
Yeah, but anyway, during this downtime and when I'm just browsing, researching businesses, I came across the self-storage facility. And
yeah.
And I'm like...
Came across two, though.
I did, but one is $700,000 more than the other.
Yeah, but like in the $700,000 one, you were like... I felt like you were like, I'm ready to pull the trigger on this one today. On and that, I'm like, $700,000 more.
On that one, so the price is $800,000. I want it.
Yeah.
I want it really bad. I don't have 200 grand for the down payment right now, which I could syndicate if anyone, you know.
Oh, hey, little plug. Let's do a little syndication. Yeah. Anybody want to get into the self-storage building?
I mean, this is a great one. It's 800,000. It's highly undervalued. I mean, they got 147 units. It's in a growing town. It's on a highway. It's a beautiful property. If I had the money myself, I would have already gone and taken care of it.
Okay.
The other one I could go buy right now and not even think about it because it's $97,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 20 units. 100% leased out for the last 5 years
mm-hmm.
on 3 acres.
So you got room to expand.
So you can definitely expand. It's on the highway. It's right off of I-35, which is a very main road, yeah. Right? Very popular road.
Interstate 35 that runs from Mexico to Canada.
Yeah. And so both of them are really good deals. The $97,000 one I can go pull the trigger on right now, but there is some access issues.
I think you were finding issues with it because you should pull the trigger on it, but you're just finding issues with it.
I don't think so. I think that's a valid reason. I mean, to have almost a quarter mile of an entryway.
Okay.
Like, you can't just drive right off the property. You got to go down a dirt road for a quarter mile to get to it.
It wasn't that far.
By the time I have to...
Oh, when you change the entrance.
Yeah, because the Oklahoma Department of Transportation is making the entrance be changed.
Okay, they are making it be changed.
Yes.
Okay, I guess I misunderstood that part earlier.
Yeah, so by the time I build a new road, make it ODOT approved, and by the time you come off of Highway 19 and go all the way down to the...
Normally, if they make you change something like that, they fund some of that.
That's not what I was told.
Yeah, I think normally they fund. I don't know Oklahoma well enough to make that judgment, but I don't know.
Yeah. So anyway, it's shiny object syndrome because I'm bored.
Yeah.
And I do know that I am determined to stay focused on my niche, which is 20 to 50, until the machine takes over and it doesn't need me.
Yep.
But if people reached out and wanted to go into this 147 unit with me.
I'll kick in some. If some people want to jump in, I'll jump in with a piece with you. Y'all let me know. You lost me at Porsche, though. I mean, self-storage buildings are cool, but you lost me at Porsche. Like, so bad that you told me about this car deal this past week, and I talked to a buddy of mine who he runs the small dealer program for an auction house, and so I'm talking to him in my Sunday morning. Me and him are the two young guys that show up to this collective group of wisdom. You know, all these guys are all 65 plus except for me and him, and I think I'm 37. He might be 39 or 40, but we're really close in age. Our kids are the same age. And he's telling me, I tell him about the car and he's like, okay. So he pulls up on his app. Like, he has an app for I think it's Manheim Auctions, and he can tell me exactly what everything sold for in the auction. And he's like, oh man, I was like $100. My offer would be $100 difference in what it would go for in auction. So I'm like, man, that's not bad. And then my mind goes, well, what do I need to do to be able to sell cars in your auction? Because if you can give me that software that tells me to sell them for auction, I can offer less on cars than that, and I just run them through. And he's like, well, you need your dealer's license. And I'm like, yeah. No, I need you to tell me how I get that data and how I get into your auction. I can handle the rest. He's like, Justin, you got to have a dealer's license to buy and sell cars. No, I'm allowed to buy 5. Jackson's allowed to buy 5. Jordan's allowed to buy 5. And Jessica's allowed to buy 5.
Yeah.
And my corporation in Montana's allowed to buy 5.
Yeah, I think the whole thing feeds into your love of cars.
Oh yeah,
right. Because the profit is not.
No, there's no profit.
There's no profit in flipping cars.
I mean, there's no profit compared to land. I mean, there's, you know, you're talking 20-30% on a car like that. If I were to buy it and sell it to the public, if I bought it and sold it in auction, you might make 10%. But you're just taking a car to an auction and run it through.
Yeah, I don't know. I love cars.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that. The idea of flipping cars, though, I'm not hooked on yet.
Yeah.
Which is why maybe when I saw this Porsche that I was just like, nah, it's not, because I wouldn't look at it at making money.
Yeah. That for me, like you presented a package because somebody was in trouble and we don't like to capitalize on stuff like that, but there's going to be an opportunity because somebody's going to buy that package. So we made a fair offer on everything. You say, this is what our offer would be. And they felt it was too low, but then I checked his data against it, and actually, we were right on the dot what it would need to be to actually move through auction. So, and that a dealer is going to offer less than that because they're going to want to run, their safety net is to run through auction to make money. I mean,
the car's still there.
The cars are still there. You know, I agree with you. And if I had the extra room in my garage, I would probably already have the car there. Or the 1993 Cobra I've been staring at for a couple weeks now that Jessica doesn't know about.
Well, there's one thing I know about you is there's always a car.
There's a couple always.
It's always that one that turns on buying.
Yep. Vibrant red 1993 Cobra. No sunroof. Gray cloth interior.
Sounds basic.
Very. I love basic.
But what about your land business? This is the Casual Fridays REI show, not the auto show.
But I thought this was free talk.
Free real estate.
Free talk. Real estate talk. Oh, man. A land business is good. We partnered on a few more deals last week. We funded some things. That's one of my favorite things to do, part of Plum, is we partnered with a guy on three deals in Florida. And we sold all three, and they all funded this week. And so I got to call him and, you know, ask him, hey, do you want me to send you a cashier's check or do you want me to send you a wire? So his part of the deal, let me break it down real quick. Three deals. We were all in it. I'm thinking in my head real quick. It's like 18.6. It sold for all three together, sold for $35,000 after closing costs. It was like $34,086 is what wired into Plum on the backside. So HUD to HUD, his portion of that of the profit was $7,500, give or take a couple bucks. And Plum made $7,500 too. But you know, he had about $150 in advertising in this property, and he made, you know, $7,346 or $7,400, give or take a couple bucks. You know, this guy, so the properties were in Florida. He lives in Utah. I'm in Texas, and he made $7,500. The property was on the market for less than, I think, 15 days, 16 days. It took longer to close on both ends. You know,
yeah, $7,300. I mean, that's amazing when all he had is $150.
Oh yeah, and that's the cool thing about the Plum partnership stuff. And you know, for me, that's like one of my big things. I enjoy that phone call. I like the exciting call of, hey, I think we're going to get an offer. I mean, that's cool. But I like it when I get to call the person and say, how would you like your money? And that's fun. We had another one. It's going to be funded here pretty quick. We closed on one. We got another couple in title. Our Kentucky property we're partnered on. Our photographer went out there. He canoed across the lake to go shoot a drone video for us.
Yeah, wait, explain that real quick, because the property has lake access.
Apparently it's got a road somewhere that sometime you were able to drive to it because there's a truck parked on the property. Right. So at one point somebody was able to get there some way. And there's houses out there. So I don't think they floated everything in, but I'm not 100% sure because you can't see it on Google Maps. But we bought it because it's beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. We got it priced right. And we sent the map to the drone pilot and said, hey, you want to, he took the job. It was like $200 for him. He thought it was kind of cool because he's going to use his canoe across the lake. He's going to fly his drone to make us a video and edit it. So he sends us the video back, and as soon as he sends it, I'm like, oh no. Because the west property line is a power line. It's a power line easement that ran down it. So the property has power, which is great. 16 acres on the water. It's got like a 60 or 70 foot waterfront on this lake. And I see the video, and he does the flyover, and I'm like, he shot the wrong cabins, because they have cabins on this property. And I'm like, man, these cabins are like, that was my partner texted me, and he's like, man, this cabins are really nice. Did you see the video yet? And I'm like, no, I'm just opening it up. I just got the email. So I click it. I'm like, man, those cabins are really nice. And then I see the opening shot of him flying over, and I'm like, that's the power line on Google Earth. That's the west property line. And then he goes west from there. So he takes a left instead of a right. And I go, he shot the wrong property. And he's like, what? And I was like, that's the wrong property. He goes, no, I sent it to the owner just to verify. We're going to verify it, make sure. And then he emailed me back. He goes, you were right. It's the wrong property. So I got a great video of the neighbor's property.
Can you not use it?
No. It's that much different.
Oh, it's that much different.
Yeah. And we've got people on standby waiting for these pictures. Like, we've got like a list of like 5-6 people, maybe 10, that are like, hey, once you get pictures and know exactly what the cabin shape is, so we know what to plan and what the price. And like I've told them, I was like, hey, if it turns out nicer, the price is going up. You can make an offer now. So we'll see what happens with that. That's part of owning a business, though. You know, it's like the little things like that that just keep happening.
Mm-hmm. I had a drone photographer go out once, and they went like 2 hours after a major storm. So there's water everywhere. The roads are flooded. And he still shot the video, and he sent it to me, and I watched it. I go, man, your angles and your flight pattern and everything is great, but you should have waited till it was sunny and dry outside.
Yeah.
I was like, I cannot use this. I'm not paying for it. And, so essentially he agreed to go back, but that was the Oklahoma deal. So luckily I didn't have to pay for that at all.
Yeah. The, I've had one other drone person that, that shot the wrong property. She pointed it out to me. She goes, hey, she zoomed and I'm like, hey, there's a house in this picture. And she goes, oh my God. It's like, I'm like watching her product come back and I'm looking at it with her and I'm like, wait a second. There's a house there. She goes, oh my God, Justin, I went the wrong way. She was 20 acres over from our 20 acres. But in half the video, you could see, because she actually panned towards our property, you could see the road that ran through our property. You could see all that. So we were able to salvage it. But, I mean, she lived like a couple hours away, so I wasn't going to make her go back out there. She's like, I'll just give you a discount on the next one. I'm like, oh, cool, I appreciate it, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes you have that. The cool thing with the drones is they keep track of the lat and long. You can check the meta files on that and see exactly where they shot to make sure it's the right property.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah, I mean, hey, that's part of owning a business, yeah, though.
Flying a drone is fun. That's like, I remember when we went to, where'd we go? Arkansas?
Yep.
And we had the drone. That was
That's a lot of cool. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of fun. A lot of people, like, they're, like, awed by that. Like, you flew a drone? I'm like, yeah, it's not that hard.
Yeah, I remember one of the properties we got to, we were on the main road. And we're like, well, where's the road to get to the property? And you're just like, well, I don't know. Let's put the drone up. So yep, we can't find it. So we used the drone to find the road. And that yeah, was... That was cool.
Yeah, just imagine getting stuck. I'm like, okay, Google Earth shows it. Okay, oh, this matches up, so we can like check on the stuff things. I mean, neat technology.
Yeah.
Neat technology. Well, what's going on with you this week? Anything else besides dreaming of storage buildings and saying no to cars?
Hopefully buying a bunch of land.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just waiting for it to hit. I sent out 3,000 offers. I'm waiting for the phone to explode. Mm-hmm. I've got, because I didn't buy anything on this last one, I have a lot of money right now just waiting to go to work. And
yep.
And then hopefully I run out of that money and I got to go find people to partner with. And
yep,
we're all making money.
I know a guy.
If only I knew someone that I could go ask for money. I don't.
Yeah, if you only knew someone that could help you partner on some deals.
Yeah.
Yeah, we okayed a couple more deals this week. I've got a couple that are just like stalled and closing and it's just like taking forever. And I don't, like I'm, like one, I think I've just hit 2 months in closing. There's 65 days.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's, I think it's hung up on an affidavit or something. So I don't know.
Yeah, I got an affidavit actually prevented me from closing on one in last week or last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, people didn't want to sign an affidavit, so can't buy the property.
Yeah, those are the fun ones. We had a house like that we've talked about before that the family would have, they were entitled to $200, but they wouldn't sign that piece for the $200. They're like, oh, screw her.
Yeah.
So lovely. People are great sometimes.
Yeah. So
you get any hate this week?
I haven't got anything. I got 4 calls. Actually, I had a, I thought it was kind of weird. This, I mailed one of my mailers, one of the people that have called back on my 3,000 offer. It was just a guy. He said, hey, I found this on the road. It looked important enough to email it back to you. It's not signed, though. It was one of my recent offers. I guess it wasn't crumbled. So it looked like maybe someone had it in a folder or something and it fell out.
Wow.
Yeah, that was kind of an odd one. And I was actually thought it was a joke at first because he was like, yeah, as I was walking across the campus where I work, I found this on the ground and I thought it was important enough to mail back. And I thought I was just going to open it and it was going to be like, screw you.
Yeah.
But no, it was just.
Or a booger.
Or a booger. Well, are we just getting, we're just getting like more comfortable talking because we are like 10 minutes longer than we normally are. And we did that Monday too.
Yeah. Maybe we just hadn't got to see each other. It's been a while since we saw each other.
Yeah. It was Friday. Yeah.
Was that Friday night?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I guess so. Huh, my days are all mixed up.
Yeah.
So what's going on with this week? Big forecast plan, just calls coming in?
Yeah, calls just coming in, closing deals.
Yeah, we've got, I think I've got another couple rounds of mailers hitting, and then we launched the other little direct mail business that I had going. So that one's kind of fun. I don't call it shiny object because it's layering on top of what something we already do, and it's manipulation of data that we always do. My piece of it doesn't change, and it's, I don't have to learn a new business or anything. So I'm excited about that to see how it pans out.
I'm excited for you.
Okay, cool. Let's wrap it up.
That sounds good to me then. It's Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
We hope you have a strong rest of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And take a second while you're working. Go to Facebook, go to Instagram, find us, Casual Fridays, REI. Give us a like, give us a follow. And then please, 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 please go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to wherever else you're listening to us. Like, rate, and review, and subscribe to the show. It means a lot to us. We appreciate it. Reviews are coming in. They're great. We're all 5 stars, and it's really cool to see the feedback, and we really appreciate it. We love you for it, and we'll see you on Friday.
Bye.